Well, I guess since the bus ain't here yet, I'm gonna tell you guys a little story. This bus stop reminds me of. See, earlier this fall, as a substitute teacher, I got the chance to take 11 special ed, special needs students across the city bowling with six other staff members, and all 11 of them, of these kids had, they totally touched my heart that day. But I'm gonna tell you about one and his father. The dad's name was Steve, and as soon as I walk into the classroom, I meet Steve, and his son Gordon has cerebral palsy. We call it CP, and pretty severe cerebral palsy. And Steve the father, he just has this exciting tone of voice, very energetic. I started asking questions because I don't know much about kids that have cerebral palsy, and I started asking questions, and there's this really cool monitor on the wheelchair of his son Gordon, and I started asking him about the monitor, and he said this monitor's got 2,000 different words that Gordon can scan through with his head, and there's a little kind of a device that Gordon would touch with his head, and he can scan through over 2,000 different words to communicate. And so he called me Sub-Man. That's what the voice box said, because it communicates verbally. And I said, Gordon, you know, what's your favorite thing to do? And he said, bus, lift. And his favorite thing to do is ride the bus and go on the bus lift. And his dad was just so proud. They kind of redid the monitor so that it's a little bit more advanced than a lot of the other cerebral palsy monitors. The parents did that. And we begin our journey going across the city, and I'm a substitute teacher, so it's not like I'm with these kids every day. And as we walk, I get to push the other kid. His name is Sal. He also has cerebral palsy, and he just had a $1 billion smile, and I wish I could tell you about him as well, but we all get to the first bus stop, and as we're there, we wait about 15 minutes. It's a little bit cold. It's November, but it's about 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and we wait for a while, and finally the bus comes, and the lady opens the door and says, I'm sorry, I can't take both these wheelchairs. You see, because on the public transportation in Colorado, there's only two spots where you can hook in wheelchairs. And so we were kind of in a dilemma, and I didn't really know what to do, and the paras were like, we call in advance, we go bowling every Friday, you know, what's up? She's like, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. And so Steve, the father of Gordon, he says, you know what, we'll stay. And he has a blanket kind of around Gordon. I was like, wow. I was like, well, that's kind of the best idea and the only option I have right now. And so he volunteers to stay, and they caught the next bus. And we caught another bus and get to the bowling alley. And as we're typing in their names, Steve and Gordon get there just on time. And I was like, wow, man, this guy's a servant. This was awesome. And I forgot to mention their bus. The second bus they were on broke down, and they still got there on time. Because we had 10 other kids with different special needs. I mean, one of them we had to make sure didn't go out in the middle of the street. We had to, like, lock arms with him and walk with him because he likes to go play with cars, and that's not good. So we get to the bowling alley, and we're having fun. I'm interacting with all the different students, and there's so much joy, and they're kind of excited because they have a substitute teacher. You know how you are when you were in school, and usually they're trying to goof around, but I don't play that, so that was good. And then Steve asked me, he says, about an hour after we're bowling, he says, come here, will you help me to, I got to change my son, he has to go to the bathroom. I was like, okay. He's like, all you got to do is grab him behind the knees, and we just pull him up, and he has a nice blanket, he lays on the floor, and so we do that. So I go in there, and we pick him up and lay him on the floor, and then I kind of left so they could have privacy. I love people, but I'm like a smell freak. I don't like bad smells, and so that was kind of something. I'm like, well, I don't probably need to be here anyways. He's like, well, you might want to check with Sal, Salvador. He's the other CP kid. He might need to go to the bathroom too. So I walk over, and I was like, Sal, how you doing? He's sitting there smacking on some tuna. He's eating his lunch. And I was like, you need to go to the bathroom. And he's like, you know, big cheesy grin. And so I push him in there. And Steve's like, you know, do you know how to help him go to the bathroom? And I was like, no, can you help me? And it wasn't like I was trying to get out of it. But it was kind of a humble, like, I actually don't know. Could you show me how to do it? And so that was just, he's just a servant. And we ended up riding home on the bus. After that, everyone changed. And then, you know, we got all the kids together and we got on the bus. And because I was in charge of Sal, you know, there's one bus hookup right here inside the bus, and there's another bus hookup on the side, and people walk through the middle, and it's in the front. So I got to, you know, ride the bus lift too, and Gordon's right, it is pretty fun to ride. It's kind of like a little mini, you know, ride at Six Flags. And as that is going on, I see a ring on his finger, and it's a bear. I was like, oh, here, I'm going to get to the heart of this man. Why does he do what he does? And I was like, does that ring mean anything to you? And he says, no. He says, the only thing that means anything to me, he pulls out a necklace with a seahorse on it. And I'm like, seahorse? That is a dinky animal. What does a seahorse have to do with anything? And he goes on to tell me, he said, you know, the male seahorse is the only animal in all creation that gives birth to its young. And it has a pouch, and it cares for the young. And I was like, okay. And he says, I'm the seahorse. I take care of my son. And later on, I found out that he adopted Gordon when he was 4 years old. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. Like, the whole day, God was just teaching me about servanthood and about beauty all around me. And as we get off the last bus stop, oh, Gordon's other favorite thing is he loves the announcements on the bus stop. So, of course, me being the bold person that I am, I made the bus driver say what's up to Gordon, give a shout out to everybody, and all the people on the bus were like, yay, Gordon, whatever. So it was cool. And also, I made him give a shout out to Sal so he didn't feel left out. And so that was cool to see him get excited. And when Gordon can't talk because he's a 14-year-old boy, and he doesn't really have the normal motor skills, but he thinks just like everybody else. And so on the outside, you see a vegetable of someone you're just kind of scared of. But on the inside, he thinks just like us. And he's like an undercover cop because he hears everything everybody says because they don't think he's listening at all. And so he's kind of like, he's got his little CSI investigation on. And it's just really cool. He just got so excited when we made the announcement. He just kind of let out a joyful noise, and he's just got a big smile. And besides his monitor, the only way Gordon can communicate is he can kind of move his body a little bit. So going up like this with his shoulders is a yes, and going to the side with his head is a no. And so it's kind of the easiest way to communicate, because scanning through those 2,000 words with his head, it's attached to his wheelchair, it takes a little bit of time. And so I just was like, wow, this is a fascinating thing. There's just beauty everywhere. And I told Steve, as we're walking back to the school, I said, you know, Steve, I'd probably learn more from you about servanthood than I probably could have in 40 different sermons. And I've learned more about true beauty from your son, Gordon, than I probably could have anywhere I heard. And I was like, I'm a pastor. I'm a man of God. I'm supposed to be a Christian, and I'm supposed to serve. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And watching him, I mean, the fact that he adopted his son just blew me away. And I said, you know, I'm supposed to have a heart like that. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being you. And you taught me a lot. God taught me a lot through you. And it was a phenomenal day. There was another kid, Alec, who he just had the heart of God. And earlier that morning, I got a phone call from one of my mentors in Ohio. And he said, Taylor, John Weber passed away. And John Weber was he's a chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys, and he was our mentor for Athletes in Action. And he meant a lot to me. He wasn't the most amazing mentor in the world, but this was just an awesome guy. And so I kind of had a bad day in the morning, but when I got around all these kids who I wouldn't expect to get anything from, it was like Jesus placed true beauty all around me, and I wasn't even looking for it. And they were like angels to me. And so I pray that, you know, in the midst of this season, there's so many things going around. You know, family's good, and holidays are good, traditions are good, Christmas lights are good, candles are good, even a church service is good. But I pray that when you are in the midst of true beauty, you'd be able to see it. Because you see, a lot of people were longing for Jesus, the Messiah, to come. They were hoping for the redemption of Israel. And this little baby came born in a manger. The King of the universe wrapped himself as a little frail baby making noise, and it wasn't as silent of a night as we might think. You know, the childbirth gives pain, and he was born in a manger with smelly barn animals. The King of the universe didn't choose to get born in a giant palace with like the cameras on him like the Truman Show. He came with an upside down kingdom. It wasn't the normal way we would think we'd find true beauty. And so I pray that in the midst of this holiday, that you would not miss true beauty like many other people did. Because Jesus loves you, and he came to die on the cross and rise again, and he came, like Sean said on Sunday, he came so that we would be the rest of the story. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isaiah 53, the second part of verse 2, it says that he had nothing majestic about him. There was nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. And yet, this is God. And he creates everything, all of you beautiful people and all the beautiful creation, he created it. And yet, I don't think he came like a GQ model, you know, to the earth. He was a regular man. I don't think he had CP, but I want to challenge you to think, if he came back now, would only people, and he came in a hidden form, because we know that whatever you do for the least of these, Jesus says you do for me. And I wonder why that is. I wonder if the least of these is part of his upside down kingdom. What we think people can't function and what we think they can't do, actually, they're gifts from God that we probably could learn more from than like 40 sermons or a lifetime. And so I pray that like myself, I had to meditate about that experience. I had to think about how shallow I was sometimes. And sometimes I'm so shallow I want to throw up on myself. I mean, it's gross. And so I just pray that you would not miss the true beauty of Christmas. That Jesus wrapped himself in a manger and no one would have expected that. And so next time, wherever you are, the bus stops in your life, I pray that Jesus would open your eyes to see true beauty. Because on November 2nd, true beauty was all around me. So I leave you with a question. What is distracting you from seeing true beauty? And what do you see at the bus stops in your life?